You may have noticed that we have switched now from Matthew's gospel to John's gospel. And we'll be following John now for the next 2 weeks, and then we'll go back to Matthew for Palm Sunday, and then we'll be in John's gospel again through much of the Easter season. This passage that we had from John this morning is very, very rich. It has a great deal of meaning in it. Sometimes so much meaning that I find it a very difficult passage to speak about. It is one of those readings that the church has used from the very earliest times to prepare people for the sacrament of baptism. But it also has a great deal of meaning for you and I. If we stop and ponder that reading, try to discover its deeper significance. One other thing I want to say about the reading is, like all of John's writings, one wants to be very attentive to the details. John included details in his writing for a purpose. And those details always have significance. For instance, John tells us that Jesus passes through Samaria. Now, Samaria was what had formerly been part of the Jewish nation. It had separated, and then later it had been conquered by the Assyrians, and some of the people had been deported, but also Syrians came to live there, and there began to be a mixture of religion, Jewish beliefs, but also filtering in pagan beliefs. And so for the Jews, they were sinners. They were heretics. And a good, pious Jew would normally not walk through Samaria. They would not even come close to those sinners, those heretics. But Jesus passes through. What does that say? It puts into action what we hear in many other places in the Gospels, how he is ready to reach out to sinners. Not just he will forgive them grudgingly, but he looks for them. He searches for them. He goes to them to bring them mercy, to bring them forgiveness. The other detail, which seems rather unimportant when you first hear it, it was that it was noon. Now, what does that mean? Well, noon was the time of the greatest temperature, the hot time of the day. It was the time that normally the women would not come to the well. They would come in the cool of the day, the early morning, the late evening. But this woman comes at noon. We'll talk about that more later. Jesus sits at the well. Now, wells were pretty significant things in a very arid country. The well was where they found the source of life, the water they needed to live for themselves and for their livestock. So wells were important places. And they became often places of social gathering, especially for the women, because they would come there in groups, and they would talk on their way to and from, and they would visit as they drew the water out of the well. And often it was meeting places also for other people. But in the history of Israel, wells had another significance. If you remember, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, all met the person that they were to marry at a well. Now, what is that possibly telling us? Was John thinking about something like that in the story of the Samaritan woman? Could it be possible that he was thinking of her as an image of all of us who are sinners, all of us who need God's mercy, and how Jesus wants to marry us, wants to become one with us, wants to take us to himself? If we think about that, that can be packed with meaning. How Jesus wants to gather us to himself, make us one with him, so that he can give us life. Now, when that woman comes, she asks Jesus, or Jesus asks her for a drink. And she was shocked because Jews don't talk to Samaritans. They won't use anything that a Samaritan uses. And Jewish men didn't talk to women in public places. And so she asked, why? Why are you talking to me? Why are you asking me? And then Jesus responds with an invitation almost. He said, if you knew the gift of God, if you knew who it was that was talking to you, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Is he saying that only to her? Or is he not saying that to each and every one of us? If we would only ask him, he would give us living water, water that would well up to eternal life. It was an invitation to that woman to receive eternal life. But it's the invitation that he gives to each and every one of us if we come to him. If we come to him in our thirst and our yearning and our desires, he can fill us. He can satisfy us. He can give us a life that will never end. St. Augustine puts an interesting twist on this well. St. Augustine says that well is symbolic of our sinful desires. And how so often in our search for something that will satisfy us, will fill us, we keep going back to the well. Just like that woman had to keep going back to get water that wouldn't satisfy her, we go back. The well of our sins. Whether it's our greed, our pride, whatever it is. We keep going back there hoping that somehow something will satisfy us, that we will get filled. And yet, it never does. And so we go back time and time and time again, hoping that this time things will be different. Augustine says, if we can let go of that and come to Christ Jesus, we will find the water that quenches our deepest thirsts. We will find the water that leads us to everlasting life. We move then to that piece about the husband. And Jesus asking the woman to bring her husband. And her saying, I have no husband. And he's saying, you are right, because you have had five. And that explains maybe why she was at the well at noon. Maybe she was an outcast. Maybe she didn't feel comfortable with those other women coming to the well, because she led a rather loose life. But notice, Jesus reaches out to her. He challenges her, but does not condemn her. He invites her to repentance, to a change of life. And that's what he does to you and I also. He does not condemn us for our sins, but he invites us to come to him, to drink from his life-giving water, And of course, when we do that, we have to change our lives. Because the sin, the evil that we have looked to for fulfillment and satisfaction no longer does it. It is Christ Jesus that fills us. He invites us to come to Him. That's why this passage has been used for so long for those who are going to be baptized. It is wanting to say to them, come to Christ Jesus. Give your life to Him. Open your hearts to Him. And He will fill you with a life that will never end. A life that will fill your deepest yearnings, your deepest desires. But it's not only for them. It's for all of us. Because all of us must continue to come to Christ Jesus. To allow Him to give us living water. To allow Him to fill the emptiness and the voids in our lives.